The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, coming up on the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast, are we trying to take a job away from Ryan? This may be a Mets podcast. I don't know. We talked a lot of Mets. We also did who's hot, who's not, buy low, sell high, and an interesting mailbag question at the end, and even threw in a fantasy football mailbag question at the end. So a lot to cover, not a lot of time to do it. Actually, we spent an hour almost. So all that and a whole lot more coming up on the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast. My name is Rami Lavie. That is Vince D'Amato. Good morning, Vince. How you doing?
Good morning. It's Thursday. We weren't able to make it work last night, busy schedules, but we're here on Thursday morning to give you everything that you need for the week.
Yeah, and a lot of times I feel like the episode comes out Thursday at about noon for the video, about 5 a.m. for the audio. So I figured, you know, if the audio's a couple hours late and we still get the video out by the same time, what's the difference, right? So this worked better for our schedule, so that's great. A couple of things I wanted to get to as far as news and notes. First of all, Nick Castellanos. Was there any doubt that he was going to hit a home run yesterday? For those who don't know, yesterday was September 11th, and exactly 1 year ago was one of the most tragic days in New York history. Aaron Rodgers got hurt on September 11th. And also, 23 years ago, two planes hit into the World Trade Center. And, of course, on that day, Nick Castellanos with homer.
If he was playing ball. Maybe he, you know, maybe he was playing.
Well, he hit it yesterday on the anniversary. Of course he did. He was a lock. He should have been minus money. I don't know why I didn't bet it. And then I don't know if you've been following the series, but he gets hit by a couple of pitches earlier in the series. He's not happy against the Rays.
Oh. And he hasn't been the most hot hitter lately. So, no. You know, yeah, maybe you would have found good odds. That's something I didn't even think about it. I wasn't aware.
When they were wearing their road grays, gray pants, Tampa, and those navy jerseys with like the light blue piping, and Philly was wearing the red with the pinstripes. To me, that's just nostalgic of the 2008 World Series, the game that took like 3 days to play because of the rainouts and whatever. Every time I see those teams, and it's not often that they play each other at Citizens Bank Park. I guess now it'll be more often, but it was just nostalgic for me to watch that.
I don't remember that exactly.
You don't remember that World Series?
I mean,
I vividly remember it, like that was like when I was a kid. I was such a big baseball fan. Like it meant so much to me, and seeing that, like the World Series was everything, you know. And it was just like. Yeah. Maybe he didn't make the playoffs that year, but I don't know if
other people feel this way, but you know, when I was younger, I love baseball, but I enjoyed playing so much more than I didn't enjoy watching, follow because I was playing all the time. And so there's a lot of, you know, people bring up, you remember this and this, and I'm like, not really. No.
Well, let's be honest. Do you watch baseball? You're a fantasy. I know people who are really good at fantasy sports who don't really watch sports. And sometimes when I bring up these news and notes from around the league, and I know I get it, I'm on MLB TV every night watching a West Coast game for no reason between Seattle and San Diego. Although last night there was good reason to watch the Seattle-San Diego game. Brian Wu had a perfect game through 6 3rd, which I don't think is that impressive. I don't know. It's not like get to the seventh, get to the eighth, or get through seven, get to the eighth inning. Then I'll start talking about it. I don't know, whatever, not the point. But sometimes I get the sense, I'm like, hey, you saw this happen? And you're like, no, not really. I'm like, oh, okay.
Honestly, like, you know, especially also, in the season, and if it's not the Cubs, I'm probably not watching a whole lot. I am following my players, you know, through the ESPN app or MLB right. app and stuff like that. But I don't go out of my way to watch a whole lot of other teams unless it's a debut. Like I went out of my way to watch Jackson Holiday debut or things like that. But no, I love baseball, but you know, we just talked about it right before the show. Sometimes, you know,
life is busy.
Life's busy. I work a full-time job and
I get that.
Sometimes it's a little hectic. So yeah, what were you saying?
Great hack. Quick pitch. A lovely lady on MLB Network mm-hmm. hosts a show. I think it's like an hour and yeah. they go through all the games. It's basically like SportsCenter for, mm-hmm. for baseball. And it runs through the overnight. So I know this from working nights at FAN. I haven't seen it in a while because I haven't worked. Oh, I worked a night shift this week. But I hadn't worked a night shift prior to this week in about 3 or 4 weeks. So, I was there and I was like, oh, look, she's back. You know, I hadn't seen this girl in a while, but, I got two notifications yesterday. One was the Mets are being no hit through 8 innings. And then I turned that on and Francisco Lindor promptly homered. And then I, through 6 innings, I was like, I didn't turn it on because I was like, it's only 6 innings, you know, like mm-hmm. the Brian Wu and everyone's like, Brian Wu, perfect game through six. And then like immediately in the seventh, Tatis hit a grand slam or hit a home run. I guess it wouldn't have been a grand slam because no one was on base, but he had a home run to break up the perfect game. I'm not trying to minimize it, but I specifically remember twice in my life going to see CC Sabathia at Yankee Stadium and him pitching like into the eighth, a perfect game. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think the no hitter through eight with only one strikeout is far more impressive.
I was just going to say, where's the Bowden Francis? Yeah.
Yeah. A no hitter through eight with only one strikeout is far more impressive than 6 innings, like 18 up, 18 down. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. And, you know, just the one walk too. So that was impressive as well for Bowden Francis. Heartbreaking for the guy though, honestly. Like
it's twice in 18 days that he's had
crushing.
He's had a no-hitter in the ninth inning be broken up by a home run twice in 18 days. But hey, you know what? I think he's secured himself a spot in the rotation, whereas he was not a full-time rotation guy prior to this. So like, you know, cup half full type of situation.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He's earned himself a contract, you know, a little bit of a pay boost, if you will. And so, you know, that's all that, you know, obviously he wants the personal accolades, but
yeah,
at the end of the day, that's what matters for him. And he's securing himself and his family, generational wealth, hopefully. So good for him. I did also, you know, I don't know if you ever watch these, but MLB does the condensed games. I do like watching those. I wanted to mention those because those are a good way to catch up on, you know, just teams out of your market as well.
Yeah, that's true. And that's like you're committing like 15 minutes to each game.
Yeah, I think they're, you know, anywhere from 8 to 11 minutes. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is an interesting stat because Pete Alonso came up yesterday with the bases loaded and nobody out and with a runner on third, less than 2 outs. Do you know the league averages how many times that runner scores? Runner on third, less than 2 outs.
Less than 2 outs. I would say league average 70%.
55.
Okay, a little high.
I mean, yeah, 55 is not great. You know what Pete Alonso's average is getting that runner to score?
70%.
He's 10 for 30, which is 30%.
Wow. Right. I mean, is it just because he's kind of that big power, all or nothing kind of guy? And, you know,
he's just been awful in clutch spots this year.
I wonder, is like a guy like Luis Arraez, is his numbers better for something like that? You know, I mean, do you just when you need to just put the ball in play, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, you're probably right about that. By the way, the Mets are the first team, the only team actually in the MLB modern era to score 6 runs in the ninth after having no hits and no runs through 8. And then lastly, Shohei Ohtani, the Dodgers hit 4 home runs in the first. They beat your Cubs. I don't know if you caught any of this.
I did.
It was late last night. Painful. But Shohei gets to what, 47, 48? It's 47 homers, 48 stolen bases, I think is what he's at now. Just pretty stupid from this guy. He's gonna be 50-50.
I hope so. That'd be pretty. Now, I've seen the question popped up, and I think it's worth asking. Is it more impressive or equally impressive as Acuna's 40-70? Do you have any thoughts on that one? Or are they just too different to kind of tell?
You know what?
Just from an offensive standpoint.
Because if Ohtani was pitching, I think we make a bigger deal out of it because we know Ohtani as a pitcher. The problem is he's not pitching. So, like, we could call him a pitcher all we want. And I know, and I said this to my father a couple of weeks ago. I was like, rehabbing to get back as a starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. You know, guys disappear for a full year while they rehab from Tommy John. This guy's doing this while he's rehabbing from Tommy John. So it may even be more impressive than actually just pitching. You know what I mean? But again, that's like saying, oh, someone dealing with something in their personal life while putting up these numbers is more impressive. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, because we don't see it on the field. I know the rehab is game related, but because we don't see it, it's hard to quantify what the value of it is. Mm-hmm. But I think the name value brings more, because you think of Acuna also. Remember, what was this, 2 months ago when I'm like, what, Ohtani has 30 stolen bases? Mm-hmm. Remember, we had that conversation. And then, you know, ever since then, I've been very on it. And I've been the one telling people, like, oh, yeah, by the way, he's stolen like 40 bases. And people are like, wait, what? You know what I mean? Because you don't think of him. You think of Acuna as like a speedy outfielder who also has a ton of power. Great. And also, I think a lot of people last year felt like, okay, they changed the stolen base rules. The steals are going to be way ahead. And I still think stolen bases are ahead of the catchers. Base runners are ahead of the catchers right now. You know, so it does change the record a little bit. But that's sports. You know what I mean? That's sports in general. That, like, you know, there's 17 games in an NFL season now. People are throwing the ball 35 times, 40 times a game, as opposed to handing the ball off 35 times a game. You know, stats change because leagues change. Larry Bird is never going to have as many three-pointers, and Michael Jordan's never going to have as many three-pointers as a center who shoots corner threes now. Like Joel Embiid's going to have way more three-pointers in his career than Larry Bird, and you think Larry Bird's a much greater shooter. You know what I mean? Like, the game changes so much. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not going to fault Ohtani for taking advantage of the game changing.
And I mean, you know, whether he's a pitcher or not, I think a 50-50 season is impressive. The only other person that I've ever thought could potentially do that, and I'm not even sure if he could do this, would be Fernando Tatis Jr. I feel like he's the only one,
maybe Prime Griffey probably could have done it, you know.
Oh, I guess I was just thinking of current.
Right, players, if you're thinking current.
Yeah.
I'm sure Acuna could, you know, get to 50-50 if he was at 40-70. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't put it past him. He's still young. But yeah, you think about even a guy like Aaron Judge, he can steal the bases. I think he mostly doesn't because of who he is, his stature, his size, where like his injury history probably plays a role in that. Because, you know, from watching games, it feels like when he wants to go, he goes pretty easily. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just think he really chooses his spots a lot more carefully.
Understand, you know, maybe he'll turn it on in the playoffs. Maybe that's a strategy.
That's also true. Like, that could happen.
Why waste your bullets?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm, but you know, I can't think off the top of my head who could do it. Lindor could actually do it. Like, he's got sneaky power. You know.
Yeah, yeah. What is he? Is he 30? He's 30-30 already, right?
I mean, I think so. If he's not 30-30 already, he's close. His numbers are great this year. And
31-27.
And that's home runs 30 or 31.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's actually, so that makes sense because you'd expect him to get the stolen bases easier, you know, because he's a little guy. So for him to have 31 home runs, like, you'd think the 40 homers would be harder for him to get to because it's just also his stature. That would be cool if he did 44. That would be cool. Yeah.
This would be a fun conversation to have with Ryan, because I've seen a lot on,
there's a lot of discourse about Lindor
or Ohtani, right? Does his defense matter when considering an MVP?
This is what I'm going to keep coming back to this. The Mets are not firmly in a playoff position.
It's not Lindor's fault, no. But they had a historically bad start to the season. They were 11 games under 500 in May. Francisco Lindor didn't start his season until mid to late May. I'm sorry, the first 6 weeks count. And if the Mets miss the playoffs by one game or two games, don't you think Francisco Lindor playing better over the first month and a half of the season would help the Mets be firmly in a playoff position right now? So as much as he's carried the team, and sure, the bullpen's blown games, the starting pitching has blown games, Pete Alonso hasn't had a clutch hit all year, I get all that. I'm not putting it all on his shoulders. But you can't start the season a month and a half in and tell me you're the MVP. Aaron Judge is a different story because of how historic his numbers were for those 3 months in the middle of the season. Lindor put up great numbers, not historic numbers. Lindor's an incredible defender. I see a lot of people saying that also. He plays the toughest position. He plays every day, and he plays it really well. True. Again, I'm not saying that in any circumstance he shouldn't. His season is really impressive. But when you look at his numbers, you don't look at his numbers. They don't pop off as, oh, my God. Like, if you think about them in a historical context, wow, historic. If you watch every Mets game, and this is why Mets fans have been on this, and I get it. If you watch every Mets game, this is a guy who in every clutch moment has carried this team for 3 months. He's done almost everything offensively. There's been guys who've, you know, contributed here and there, whether it's Iglesias, whether it's Alvarez, whether it's Vientos, not Pete, but everyone else has contributed. Even J.D. Martinez had a hot stretch. Brandon Nimmo had a very hot stretch for May and June. The only consistent and constant who's been dominating for them every single month is Francisco Lindor. So I'm not taking anything away from Francisco Lindor, but he is not the MVP.
Okay. It doesn't change your mind if they make, because they're in the playoffs. Technically, if
I know.
Today, they're in.
And if they make the playoffs, great.
Is that doesn't change anything?
I don't think, look, he should get some votes. And he will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But again, when you look at his numbers again and tell me, like, because,
268 David, average.
Right. David Stern said that because his season is better than his numbers. I'll give you that. But David Stern said this is probably one of the best regular seasons from a position player in Mets history. And David Stearns grew up a Mets fan. Mm-hmm. David Stearns, have you seen what Mike Piazza did like in the late 90s, early 2000s at catcher when there was no DH? Like, what are we talking about? Like, it's not even close. Those Piazza numbers are stupid. He was batting like 330 and hitting 40 bombs, 150 RBIs. Like, what are at catcher? What are we talking about? This is not the greatest season. Like, historically, this season doesn't measure up. Whereas Ohtani, you can look at this season. And so I think, you know, it's important to watch every games if you're a voter for these awards. And I know most people aren't watching every game. Now, a lot of voters are East Coast biased, New York guys, you know what I mean? So maybe that gives Lindor a bump. Mm-hmm. But there's something to looking at the numbers and saying that's an MVP season also. Like, I would have less of an issue with Bobby Witt winning it over Aaron Judge than Lindor winning it over Ohtani because of look at Witt's numbers. Witt's numbers are stupid.
30 home runs, 28 steals. 333 average, though.
Right, exactly. And carrying a KC team all year long.
Yeah, many more runs, RBIs.
Yeah.
Is that a product of the team around him?
Potentially. It's a product of him getting going a month and a half earlier than Lindor.
Yeah, I mean, and another thing, you know, I don't know what the extra base hits look like. I don't have it. But just looking at the OPS, I mean, Shohei's 992 OPS, Witt's 980, Lindor 831. Again.
Right.
The fielding percentage, or just fielding in general, I don't know how, I mean, you know, maybe that's up to the individual voter of how much stock they put into that. Because I think if you're an MLB team and you want to take anyone in the league, you're probably going to take Shohei Ohtani first, which to me tells me he's the MVP of the National League. So I agree with you. You know,
Mike Piazza, 1998, had an OPS over 1,000. In 2000, he had an OPS over 1,000. You know what I mean? As a catcher, two of the 3 years with the Mets, 2 out of 3 years. You know, and the 2 other years, it was 936 and 957. Like, stupid.
And maybe I have to dive into Lindor's defensive metrics a little bit more. But that was just, I just wanted to.
Oh, he's a great defender and watching him every day. I wonder what his mm-hmm. war is. Do you know what Lindor's war is?
Well, that's why the conversation comes up, is because his war with his defense is, I think, at least a full point higher than Otani's war is overall.
And that's something, you know, there's something mm-hmm. to that.
And that's where I think the argument starts is, hey, as a whole, Lindor is a better player for your team than Otani, if you count wins above replacement as the stat, which I think a lot of people do, right? Because it's, you know, that's what it boils down to. We want wins. Which players are going to help us get the most wins? And according to that stat, Lindor does beat Otani. So I think that's where the conversation starts. And I think it's a good one. So I was just curious where your stance
yeah,
was.
There are numbers that I saw, and I wish I could find them now, but I'm not going to be able to find it right now. It was because it was a few weeks ago that I saw these, maybe a week and a half ago, but I saw these numbers basically just detailing that Lindor's clutch numbers are better. Lindor, like, you know, there were a bunch of stats. Now, of course, you could show some stats and not show other stats and manipulate an argument any way you want by purposely omitting certain stats and bringing stats that help you. We saw that extensively on Tuesday night, right? So, you didn't get the reference. It's fine.
No.
The presidential debate was Tuesday night. Anyway, but the point is, my point is that, yes, you can manipulate stats and numbers for your benefit and for your argument. I don't think there were any stats or numbers on Tuesday. I was just, you know, bickering,
just cats like, eating
like children.
Cats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But my point is that, yes, you can make the numbers fit your narrative. And so that's why people who want the Otani narrative will look at 50-50 and say it's historic. People who want the Lindor narrative will look at the clutch stats, and because they are better, and will, because they've been one of the best in the league. And we'll look at, yeah, I think like late and close, his OPS is like beating him by like 30 points. His two out RBI, like two outs, runners in scoring position. It was stuff like that. But again, it's leaving out other stats that are important also. So I don't know. Should we get into, oh, by the way, mm-hmm. two things before we get going with the rest. Jackson Holliday made an error. The Orioles are struggling. I am so high on Jackson Holliday. And this isn't a buy low because this is for next year. I think Jackson Holliday, remember when Aaron Judge came up and he stunk for those few months? Now, I know Aaron Judge was a huge prospect. Jackson Holliday is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Next year. I've seen it. I'm watching him. I'm seeing the way the Oriole fans are reacting to him online. Baseball fans as a whole. This kid, you don't just become a top prospect for nothing. This kid's going to get to the lab. He's going to go to work. And he's going to come back with an extra motivation. He's not just going to be great. He's going to be like otherworldly next season. That's a guarantee.
Okay. Oh, a guarantee. I like it.
Yes.
So he's going to be your first round pick?
I don't think he's going to be my first round pick.
Okay.
I do have a mailbag question at the end, by the way.
All right.
An interesting one. Okay. But where does he go?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think the value you're going to have with him by the end of the year, we're going to be talking about, wow, can you imagine this guy? This is what he returned. He's going to be one of the top 10 fantasy baseball players next year.
That's a statement. Do you know who some of the top 10 hitters are right now? I mean, so you think he's going to break, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 right now is Adamas, but behind him you have Vladdy, Corbin Carroll, Brent Rooker, Matt Chapman.
Well, I think Corbin Carroll's gonna have a great year too. But yeah, you know,
okay, all right,
empires rise and fall, people are gonna go backwards. Bryce Harper hasn't hit a home run in a month. Just want to throw that in there, I don't know why. Jazz Chisholm, how about that? I told you he was gonna get some opportunities and be hot this week. Well, he had a walk-off for the Yankees in the 11th inning last night, so
again, one of my favorite deadline acquisition.
Yep, we talked about him. All right, who's hot, who's not, is brought to you by Who's Hot and Who's Not. We don't have a sponsor. So we have a, I could do the, for the Yankees, it's like, it's an HVAC company.
Okay,
and we do it on the pregame show. Right? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we do Who's Hot and Who's Not. And every time I say who's hot and who's not, I think of that HVAC company, which is great by them.
Yeah.
But that's why naturally I'm like, it's brought to you by, I'm like, no, actually we don't have a sponsor. We should.
I have a friend who just, heard about the podcast and he listened to it recently, and, him and his father own an HVAC company. So maybe
if they want to sponsor who's hot, who's not, Vinny's friend, pop on. What's his name?
His name is Cole. And,
all right, Cole from
Wisconsin. So, well, and that's the thing, right? It's got to be beneficial to their business. So we need to get some Wisconsin listeners. Maybe we got to start talking some brewers. They're in the playoffs, right? You have a brewer. Oh, okay.
I might have a brewer today.
I don't have any brewers today.
All right. So who's hot? I have two. You mentioned you have two as well, so you can start.
I have to go to this guy because we've talked about him. I've told you to buy low on him. I told you not to give up on him, and it's finally happening. I'm kind of disappointed that it's happening because I think it's going to increase his draft price next year. Parker Meadows, have you been following what he's doing? Last five games, and it's stretched on for a little bit longer, but last five, he's really been dialed in. 360 average, two home runs, six runs. But here's the big number. He leads all Major League Baseball with 12 RBIs in those last five games. Do not sleep on him. This is like an ad for next year. Don't sleep on him next year. His ADP this year was 271. I absolutely think that that's going to go up. If it doesn't, it should. And I also think the Tigers as a whole, you know, I definitely will pat myself on the shoulder because I think I called the Royals breakout a little bit this year. I think the Tigers could take a Royals like jump next year. If Torque figures it out, if Parker Meadows can stay consistent throughout the whole year, I mean, they are one step away. They have, you know, the best pitcher in the American League maybe, and they have depth. They have young guys. They have everything that you need to kind of call a breakout. I think the Tigers are going to do it. And I think Parker Meadows is, going to figure it out next year. And I think next year will be, I think I was a year early on Parker Meadows, but next year I'm definitely buying back in. So he's been hot lately.
Better to be a year early than a year late, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
My hot, a position we don't talk about a ton, Edwin Diaz. Since blowing the save in Arizona, which was probably his toughest outing, and he comes back the next day, throws only fastballs. He's now thrown seven in the third inning. The third inning was last night, by the way. He threw one pitch and got the save. In seven and a third innings, he has 14 strikeouts in seven and a third innings, a 0.4 whip and a 0 ERA. He hasn't allowed a run, and he's gotten four saves. The Mets are hot. They play in a lot of close games. They've won, I think, 11 of 12. I'm fairly certain it's 11 of 12. They play in a lot of close games, and he's going to get a lot of save opportunities. They have seven of their next 10 games are against the Phillies. Those games are going to be close. He is scorching hot. And it's so awesome to see when a team goes right back to their closer and it works. A guy who was up and down, and he has, you know, we talked about Lindor costing them. He, you know, Edwin Diaz will certainly be one that if the Mets miss the playoffs by a game or two, you could point to many occasions which he let them down this season. But if they make the playoffs, watch out, because if he's coming in that ninth inning, I still like him over any closer in baseball in a one-run game, end of the game, coming in to turn out the lights.
I'll tell you what, the Mets are not a team I would like to be facing in the playoffs.
No, clutch hitting, great starting pitching. I mean, Severino, Minaya. What about what David Peterson has done that we talk about? I mean, again, I've turned this. I feel like sometimes my East Coast bias overtakes the podcast a little bit. But you've said it. This Mets team, they could, and this is a debate we had at work. Who do you think today has a better shot of going further? Now the Mets still have a chance of missing the playoffs, where the Yankees are almost guaranteed to make the playoffs. Who do you think goes further this year, the Yankees or the Mets? Now, again, if you're playing the percentages, there's a chance the Mets miss the playoffs entirely. So you have to include that into your thought process. But once they get in, which team's better equipped to make a run? I would say the Mets.
Yeah.
The better team. You know, they've been the best team in baseball for the last 90 games. They have 56 wins over the last 90 games. No team has been better.
I would say the Mets. I mean, you know, I think it may depend on matchups, like who gets paired. I don't know off the top of my head who's going to get paired up against who, because if the Mets have to go against like the Dodgers per se, maybe it's a little bit iffy. But
the NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anyone else? I mean, if the Mets end up going even against the Phillies or Milwaukee, I absolutely think, they make it to the National League Championship, and they're as scary as anyone. And I don't know if it's a guarantee that the Yankees make it to the ALCS, right? So
yep,
we'll see. I have another player who's hot that I've talked about before. I called him a buy low many times, especially around the All-Star break, because his numbers just looked atrocious. And everyone was like, what the hell happened to this guy? He's supposed to be an ace. Pablo Lopez. Have you been following what Pablo Lopez is doing? I don't know what people worried about, but last six straight quality starts, I should say, 40 and a third innings pitched to a 1.11 ERA, including three of those outings with at least nine strikeouts and just one walk. His numbers look great if you take it back to the All-Star break. I didn't go all the way back because I didn't really want to do the math for all of them, but last six starts, he's been unbelievable. He's a bona fide ace. If you bought low on Pablo Lopez, you're probably reaping a lot of rewards right now. So, Pilo, thanks for making me look good.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that also early in the season, lots of people jumping off the wagon like, oh, we overdrafted him, guy drafted too high. He's proving a lot of those people who stuck with him right now. So that's a good one. A guy who's certainly still a buy low, but is also so hot that I couldn't keep him out of the hot, and I've talked about him, is Andres Chaparro. How about .407 on base in the last week? 2 home runs, 7 RBIs, 3 runs scored in a stolen base. Yeah, he's been the 19th ranked fantasy player in the last week. So Andres Chaparro, he's hot, and he's certainly still a buy low candidate, only 6% rostered in Yahoo leagues. He's not getting a ton of at-bats. You'd wish he had a little bit more, but it's pretty consistent. It's consistent enough for me that, you know, you can plug him in to, you know, it's not a waste of a roster spot if you plug him in right now to a roster. And like I said, he's been hot.
Yeah. I mean, he's one, again, that's probably just hasn't been picked up anywhere. People are just like, who's this guy? He's on Washington. Like, what? Ew. That's like, you know, the same feeling we get when we talk about players from Oakland. It's like, really?
Well, not this year. Oakland's offense. They've been a little better. Best offenses in the league.
Yeah. Or maybe the White Sox, but the White Sox, nobody. So, you know.
Yeah, who would you pick up on the White Sox?
I think that's a good call out.
Yeah, well, who's not hot? We could use the White Sox, but who's not hot? Go ahead with you. Who you have
that would have worked all year. I went with a guy who I still believe in long term, and we've talked about this guy quite a few times, but Jonkinsie Noel for the Cleveland Guardians has not been hot and should not be in anyone's lineup until further notice. No hits over the last week, and since August 26th, he's got just one home run and only 5 hits in 37 at-bats, which is a 135 average, 5 runs and 5 RBIs in that time as well. He's starting to miss starts and be used as a pinch hitter. So unless he figures it out and figures it out quickly, Cleveland's not going to wait on him. So he should be out of your lineup until further notice. I mean, not only is he not getting at-bats, but he's not putting together productive at-bats. And maybe a late season surge is in it for him, right? We know what kind of streaks these types of hitters can get on, but it's probably not going to happen in my lineup. So Jonkinsie Noel, sit him. He's been ice cold. believe in him long term again, but not right now.
Well, you asked me to come with numbers for Aaron Judge. I've come with numbers. He is cold, not just not hot. So despite his extended home run streak, which is, or yeah, this is the longest streak he's gone without a home run since 2019. Now he hasn't had a home run in, I think, 14 or 15 games. But in the last 14 games, he's batting 196. He has zero home runs, only four RBIs, and a 608 OPS. So you wanted numbers? I came with numbers. Aaron Judge is certified cold. And to give you a couple more numbers right here, in the last week, the last two weeks, also zero home runs, only those three RBIs. He does have a stolen base. I get that the on base is still 315. That's nice. You know, sure, he still scored six runs because he's going to get on base. But we're talking about a guy who we expect to be otherworldly. Those numbers are atrocious. And he's come up in some big spots for the Yankees. Talk about Pete Alonso not coming through in big spots. Aaron Judge has not come through in two and a half, three weeks now. Yeah. And it's kind of frustrating if you're a Yankee fan. But if you're an Aaron Judge owner, you know, we talked about this early in the year. Oh, sell high on him, right? The reason we said that was because of an injury.
Yeah.
The idea that Aaron Judge would just fall off the face of the earth with no apparent injury is, I mean, this is astonishing and really shocking.
And this is tough because it's one of those players, you know, if this was a Sunday episode and we had a lock, I don't know if I'd throw him as a lock, but I think he's a player. If you have to make a decision early in the week, he's one. If I have Aaron Judge in my lineup and I lose, I think I have to be okay with that. He's a guy I feel like you have to go down with the ship, especially with the season that he's had.
Yeah, but fantasy playoffs right now, like, and you're looking at your lineup every day and you're like, I don't know. I got Andres Chaparro on my bench. How am I continuing to start Aaron Judge?
So you're going
to
take out, if you have a utility spot and Aaron Judge or Chaparro, you're going to put in Chaparro over Aaron Judge? I understand.
Well, put it this way. If I did that last week, and let's say last week was my make or break week.
Yeah.
This is the week. If you win, you're in the playoffs. You lose, you're out of the playoffs. I would have rather had Andres Chaparro than Aaron Judge.
Well, hindsight's 20/20.
I know, but my point is that what are you supposed to do? Just wait for him forever? Because he might have, tonight might be the night that he breaks through and has three home runs. Okay, if that's the night, then tomorrow I'll start him. But I don't know if you can put him in your lineup every day. And I've watched some of these at-bats. He's just drilling the ball into the ground over and over and over again. He keeps beating the ball into the ground. So many ground balls, even the hits he has had, which I think he has five or six over the last couple of weeks, are all ground balls through the left side of the infield, which Aaron Judge, if you watch him on a daily basis, it's line drives, spraying it all over the field. Ground balls in the shortstop hole are not exactly his, you know, I guess like his, I can't think of the word, but that's not like his MO, right?
Strong suit or his, you know.
Yeah, that's just not what he does when he's hot. And the fact that those are the hits he's getting, because still he's freaking Aaron Judge. So a couple of times, even if he's chopping it into the ground, just going to be smoked. And so he has some choppers down the line. He has some ground balls through the shortstop hole, but those have been his hits. Like, I watch every Yankee game. And I work a lot of the games. Those have been his hits. So the idea that he's been anything but cold, and it's not even close. Like, he's missing pitches. A lot of, you know, I forget who says it, but a lot of his home runs are ending up on the screen. You know, that's what they say. When you have that pitch that's down the middle, that fastball middle, that's the home run pitch. Every mistake that he didn't miss a mistake for 2 months.
Right.
If you made a mistake to him, it went 450 feet. Now, if you make a mistake, it's likely hitting the screen behind him.
Yeah. All right.
So Aaron Judge is cold. Buy low, sell high. Maybe it's a buy low opportunity for Aaron Judge.
Yeah, there you go.
Who's your buy low?
I kind of put a little cluster together because I think a buy low for me, it was just hard to kind of do at this time when trades aren't happening. And, you know, I was looking around and there's a lot of people who are, you know, maybe Royce Lewis fit this category. But I wanted to talk about these players that we've mentioned a few times, but I don't think we've really dove into. The two main ones that I think are fitting here are Corbin Carroll and Julio Rodriguez. like it or not, their price is down for next season. And I'm here to tell you, like the rest of the baseball world, like I have no idea what's going on with either of them, but they're really starting to figure it out. And I'm not going to just drop them off the face of the earth or not consider drafting them next year because of the poor season that they had this year. These types of seasons happen all the time, right? And just looking, I mean, you know, they've definitely started to figure it out the last 2 weeks. J-Rod's 333 average, 3 home runs and 3 stolen bases. Carroll, 283 average, 4 home runs, 6 stolen bases. So they're figuring it out. Obviously, I don't want to draft them and have them take 6 months to figure it out again, but these types of years happen.
This is what we talked about. Yep. This is what we talked about last episode. It's time to look at them and say, okay, maybe we could actually get them on a better value next year because of how their season went. And this end to the season is extremely, you know, should make you very optimistic about their prospects for next year.
Yeah. And you know, these types of years happen, right? I mean, the one off the top of my head, Vlad Guerrero had a horrible year, or not, maybe not horrible, but certainly a down year. And people are like, oh, you know, he's not going to be, you know, what we thought he was. And look at him now. Like, you
even
know,
starting the year, I think people were still very, you know, concerned about Vlad this year.
Yeah. My advice. So I think people will be scared off next year by Julio Rodriguez, Corbin Carroll, even Fernando Tatis, Kyle Tucker. My advice, don't be scared off. Like, I am in on them. If I'm on a turn next season, like, you know, the end of the first round, start of the second, and I end up with two of those four guys, I am over the moon, happy, ecstatic, because again, their price is going to fall and I don't think it should. So that's all I really have to say. I'll get off my little soapbox, but
no,
don't be scared.
I agree. Well, last night, a guy who I talked about on last episode solidified himself, I think, as the closer of the New York Yankees, because Clay Holmes blows the save in the seventh inning. So it's like, hey, we can't bring this guy in a one-run game in the ninth. Let's bring him in a one-run game in the seventh. Blows it immediately. And then Luke Weaver, who I talked about on last episode, came in for an inning and two-thirds and extras. He ends up getting the win. But he pitches the 10th and the 11th with the runner on second, obviously. He pitches an inning and two-thirds, strikes out 3 batters, no runs, no hits, no walks. Doesn't give up anything. And the way he was fired up walking off the mound, this was a guy who was picked up on waivers exactly a year ago today by the Yankees. The Yankees picked him up a year ago today off of waivers. And the fact that he's going to solidify himself now as probably being the closer for the Yankees in the postseason, I think he's definitely earned the role for the next few months. Do I trust that the Yankees, despite him coming through for them, will keep him in that solidified role? Maybe not, but I'd buy him now, and if the Yankees keep putting him in these high leverage spots, I'd, you know, run with it. The Yankees have a big series against Boston this weekend. They obviously have that weekend series against the Orioles late in the year. This could be a great time for you to have Luke Weaver, and maybe, don't look now, maybe he's the closer going into next season. I mean, it felt like for the last 3 years, it's like, oh, the closer's going to be Loaisiga. Don't worry, the closer's going to be Loaisiga, and then every year he's hurt. So, you know, Clay Holmes, he's going to be gone. I don't even know what kind of free agent contract he gets, because if you look at him, he's one of the saves leaders in the league over the last few years. His metrics all look good other than barrel rate, and his whiff rate is terrible, and his sinker, which is just his best pitch, people are hitting like 400 off of his sinker, which is supposed to be, that's supposed to be the putaway pitch, and that's really the problem. If you look at some of the advanced metrics for him. But yeah, it's Luke Weaver, the closer of the New York Yankees. He's a good buy low.
I like it.
All right, sell high. You have?
I have. This one hurts me because I love this guy, and I think he, you know, I think he is going to, I think his price is a little too elevated for me at the moment. And if this was the end of the season, I think next season he would go a little bit too high for me. That's Bowden Francis. Obviously, we just talked about how heartbreaking it is for him to lose 2 no-hitters in 18 days. Mm-hmm. And if you look at his last 6 starts, they've all been great. I mean, 6 straight quality starts, 43 innings pitched, 1.25 ERA. Well, losing 2 no-hitters, I mean, he has been one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher on the planet over the last few weeks. And I will say, I think he's a good pitcher. I think he's a very good pitcher, but I don't think
he's not he's
this good.
Yeah.
He's, and you know, just some of the metrics to back it up, he's got a below average strikeout rate, which even if he's pitching like this, it really limits the upside that he can give you, right? He's not going to give you a whole lot of strikeouts.
One strikeout through eight no-hit innings.
Exactly. And, you know, he's got below average velocity. He doesn't keep the ball on the ground very well, which we've seen him lose from, you know, his no-hitters were from home runs. And he allows quite a bit of hard contact. So, you know, he seems like a good control guy, not great. So I expect him to fall into this SP3 territory long term. He'll probably flirt with SP2, but also maybe fall into SP4 or 5 at times. He's not an ace. And so I'm not going to draft him. And I think people will be drafting him as an SP2 next year. And I can't get to that price. I'm still in like that 3 to 4 range throughout the whole season. And if I miss the boat, if he does end up being an SP2 or an ace, if he starts to tick up those strikeout numbers, then watch out. But I'm not betting on it right now. So I would be selling high on Bowden Francis, not to say I'd be selling him per se, but I think his price is a little elevated at the moment.
I told you I was going to mention the Milwaukee Brewer. Here it is. Willie Adames is my sell high. I think he's too home run dependent. Has 7 home runs in the last couple of weeks. The last 2 weeks, he has 6 home runs. 14 RBIs. 8 runs scored, 4 stolen bases. So he's 11th, actually. 11th ranked fantasy baseball player in the last 2 weeks. 10th ranked fantasy baseball player in the last month. The problem is, in that time where he hit 6 home runs, his on base was 278. Like, he is all or nothing. He's too home run dependent. And with home run dependent guys, they're going to go through extended stretches. It's not like he has 50 home runs in the year. He has 30 and 102 RBI. Great season. 18 stolen bases, of course. But that on base is so low that even if he's hitting the home runs, to me, you can sell high as like, hey, take these numbers. Look at these numbers. He's ranking 17th in fantasy baseball this year. This is awesome. Take Willie Adames. He's a shortstop, premium position, whatever. To me, especially in a head-to-head league where you're playing every week, it's similar to Kyle Schwarber, where it's like, if he's not getting the home runs this week, he's going to end up losing me games. So maybe in a roto league, overall, those numbers look great. But on a week-to-week basis, if he's giving you nothing the weeks that he hits only one home run, like this week when he's only hit one home run and he has a 222 on base, that's not good enough for me. And so, sure, last week when he had 5 home runs was great. But this week having the one home run kind of sucks. So it's not the type of player you could take the good with the bad. You can show other people, hey, look, here are the numbers for him. This is what he's done, and sell high based on the numbers looking good. But to me, he's not someone that I can rely on to give me consistent value week in and week out for the course of a Major League Baseball season. And if you're in the playoffs right now, it's probably no trades, but are you really trusting that he's going to be a guy who's going to come through for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I look at the Razzball player rater here, Willie Adames is the 13th best offensive player so far this season. Right behind him, Kyle Schwarber. And then 3 behind him, Anthony Santander. A lot of these guys who, you know, they get on hot power binges. And, you know, Santander, I think, is a little different. He's got 41 bombs this year.
Yeah.
But
he's been streaky. He has, you know, he'll have 6 in a week, and then the next week have 1. And he, I think, gives you a little bit more OPS, if I'm not mistaken, a little more on base also, but I'm not sure what Santander's on base numbers are.
On base is 314, Adames is 333,
right.
And Schwarber's 372.
We're talking about similar things here. Especially if you're in a strikeout league, you know, with these guys who Schwarber, I know for sure, strikes out a lot. Like, again, Adames does add the element of the stolen bases because 18 of them. So maybe, okay, it's not 41 home runs, it's 30, but he does have 18 stolen bases. So maybe that is a little better than Santander. Whatever. The point is, in a weekly matchup, it's hard. You know, consistency is hard to find in baseball. I get that. There's nobody who's going to be hot all the time. It's a game of streaks. But you want some sense of consistency. You know who's consistent? Shohei Ohtani.
He's the number one hitter in fantasy.
Yeah, I know.
Right. Yeah, maybe you just take one of those guys, right? Maybe next year in a draft and you don't take all three. Maybe you just take one.
Or you take all three and hope that they stagger each other, right?
Yeah, right. There you go.
All right. Last time we talked about a prospect report, you told me that don't play any prospects because it's the fantasy playoffs and you can't risk it. Do you have a similar sentiment this week?
The only one I will say, and I think you know who, is Jason Dominguez. He's the only an outlier in that situation, and he got the call. He's an immediate
rode the pine last night, though.
Yes, which that was another question I have for you. Why do the Yankees give at bats to Verdugo when you have this guy? Like, is there a reason for
Verdugo's numbers? He could have been the who's hot. Have you seen Verdugo's numbers the last couple weeks?
No, they've been. Maybe I should have looked at it before. But
do you want the actual answer? I'll tell you the actual answer. We talk about this a lot on WFAN, and I don't agree with it, but it's what they think. They think that Alex Verdugo is going to be a real contributor in the postseason. And in order for him to be that, he needs to be having consistent at-bats.
Sure.
So in their mind, they're saying, we need him if we want to accomplish what we want to accomplish this year. So benching him now doesn't do anything for us.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's their thinking.
So now they bring up Dominguez to have maybe some extra depth. So, you know, maybe he doesn't get as many plate appearances as I thought.
We're not going to call him up to not play.
Sit him,
so,
right.
You know, it's going to be get Soto off his feet, get Judge off his feet, get Stanton a day off. Right. So it's going to be a rotation. But I think Verdugo still late game defense is going to come in, probably get a couple of at bats. But I still think that, you know, Dominguez should get a lot of playing time. It's not that many games left. We're talking about, 15 games left? So in that time, he should get, I'd say he plays in 12 of those 15 games, I would guess.
So, yes, I mean, that being said, no other late season call-ups should be added or rostered. Like, I mean, the only ones I can maybe think of might be, you know, Matt Shaw or Jordan Lawler, now that Jordan Lawler's back. But, you know, Kobe Mayo, probably not rostered, shouldn't be rostered pretty much anywhere in a redraft league. Again, Jason's the only real exception here, but don't get cute. Do you consider Jacob deGrom a prospect report because he's going to be pitching, you know, start him on Friday against Seattle, but no other real prospects to speak of right now that should at least be fantasy relevant.
All right. I have two mailbag questions. One is a fantasy football mailbag.
Okay.
Hopefully, you ready?
Yeah. I'll try my best.
The fantasy football mailbag is, somebody offered me Jaxon Smith-Njigba for Jameson Williams. Now, this guy who offered this to me doesn't know sports. He's strictly a fantasy sports and gambler.
Sure.
So he loves like the names that they talk about on the fantasy podcasts, I guess us. So he loves Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I watch football. I don't like Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I watch football. I know that Jameson Williams was drafted really high and was supposed to be great. The only thing was he was hurt. People were talking about drafting him over Garrett Wilson. If he actually has a healthy season this year with Jared Goff, he should be much better than Smith-Njigba with Geno Smith. So I'm going to decline the trade. But what do you think of that trade?
Shows how little I know because I didn't draft either of those players and
okay.
I won all three of my leagues, but I'm not, you know, fantasy football.
I'll answer the question for you. I think Jameson Williamson's upside is so much higher than Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I'm not a huge JSN guy. The mailbag question that I have for you that's related to fantasy baseball, because this one, I thought about it on Sunday when we talked about him, and then I decided, you know what? I'll hold off. It's kind of an indictment on me, myself, and what I said early in the season, going back to March and April, but going into next year, who has better value, Austin Wells or Adley Rutschman? Austin Wells is younger. He's going to get more playing time. His numbers this year are better. He's going to win Rookie of the Year, probably. He's been awesome. He's clutch. Since moving to the cleanup spot in the lineup, he's been one of the best cleanup hitters in baseball, if you look at the numbers starting just from him batting cleanup. He's batting in the middle of a loaded lineup. And somebody asked me, the person who asked me this was asking from a pure baseball perspective. They weren't even asking from a fantasy perspective, where, you know, Adley's older and we've seen his ceiling, but this is such a down year for Adley. And we know about Adley defensively and, you know, handling the pitching staff, but Austin Wells has been great in that area too this year, a lot better than expected. So going into next year, where Austin Wells is younger, probably going to win the starting role from the get-go, versus Adley Rutschman, it's not crazy to think that Austin Wells, especially if you're drafting him three rounds later or four rounds later than an Adley Rutschman, his value might be way better.
Yeah, I think if you're talking like strictly ROI, yeah, I could, Wells will definitely go later, right?
That's another question. Should he even go later? Look at the numbers and tell me that Austin Wells shouldn't go earlier.
I'd like to dive into their underlying, you know, because again, Adley's just had, I think this is, again, we just talked about it with Carroll and Julio. Maybe this is just the last year for Adley, right?
Similar situation for sure. Yeah,
could be. And maybe it's a good buy low.
It was on my flag guys before the year
it was.
Started,
I was going to say, yeah, like you said, it was an indictment on you. So I understand that. But I mean, if you're asking me if I get, you know, at the same price, I'm taking Adley. There's just no, his upside.
What is his upside? He's never going to hit a ton of home runs. Wells' upside power-wise is much higher, right?
I mean, but I don't know. Maybe. I think he's got much higher average upside.
It's so funny because upside. I'm a Yankee fan, so I love it. But it hurts my soul. It hurts my core as an Adley fan and as a guy who is so big on Adley before the season started.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be a fun one to watch, but and again, at the price, yeah, I think Wells definitely has it maybe almost locked up at this point, but I can't say that his upside is higher than Adley's. I think Adley has the chance to be one of the greatest offensive catchers that we've seen in quite a long time.
Gave you Mike Piazza's numbers earlier in the episode.
Well, I said, you know, one of. I don't think he'll be the.
No, I know.
He'll certainly, he should, at least if you know, he fulfills 90% of the promise that he brought up, he'll be remembered for a long time, I think, as that. So we'll
maybe
see how Austin Wells
develops. By the Orioles, because their entire team, the way they've played the last 2 months, it's almost like they're trying intentionally to get Brandon Hyde fired. And I think he will be fired after the season. I don't think this is his fault. The players have just been awful for the last 2 months, but it's looked like a mess too. It's looked bad. And I love Hyde, and I'm sure you do too, as a Cubs fan. You know, he was part of that. I think he was on the staff. I don't know if he was on the staff when they won the World Series ultimately, but I know he was part of the staff that kind of got them through that rebuild. So I love Brandon Hyde. I can't say I know him personally, other than speaking to him a few times and working his press conferences when I worked for the Orioles. So I think he actually is, like, he was the perfect guy to guide them and those young players through the rebuild. I think with expectations being a little bit higher now, they want, and new ownership coming in, they probably want something a little bit different. So that plays into it. That doesn't mean he's a bad manager. I think he's a good manager, actually. But unfortunately, maybe it's run its course, and that happens. That's how sports works. But it seems like the players are like playing as if they want him to be fired.
Yeah, I was trying to find real quick what his capacity was with the Cubs. I don't remember. I do remember him with the Cubs, and I remember him around that World Series time, but I don't remember to what capacity he was with them. But maybe, you know, but I think they got tons of young guys that, you know, will.
He was with the Cubs from 2013 through 2015.
So right before.
And then, yeah, 18. I'm sorry. Yeah, and then he went to I don't know. He rejected the New York Mets coaching job offer. I didn't know that. Oh, no. He was with the Cubs through the World Series. Yeah. He was there during the World Series, it looks like.
Cool.
Anyway, all right. This feels like this episode has run its course. Speaking of things that have run its course. All right. So until next time, like, subscribe as my voice goes at the perfect time. Like, subscribe, share the podcast. We'll see you all on Sunday, Monday morning.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.